I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again today for the last episode of our business show, Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the last episode of 2025. It's so hard for me to believe that. It literally seems like yesterday we were just kicking off the year. And, you know, I've really given a lot of thought to what I wanted to share with you today. I always like to do a wrap-up episode, not just to share with you, you know, what's working, what's not working and all that, but just to kind of give you my overall lessons that I've learned this year for myself. This has been a very big year for us here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency. I don't know, I always do the one word challenge every year. And you've probably heard me talk about that a little bit here. And it's not that I think everyone needs to do it. I just find it really effective and productive for me. And my word this year was expansion. And it really showed up in a number, like pretty much all over the place. And everything that I created, everything that I did, everything that basically happened, expansion was there. And I didn't really know that at the beginning of the year. I usually don't choose my word at the beginning of the year, and I usually don't tell anybody what my word is, at least for the first part of the year. And I'm very intentional about that. I do that because, number one, my word usually finds me. And number two, I usually have two or three in my mind by the end of the year that I'm thinking about for the following year. And that's pretty much where I'm sitting right now for 2026. And so what I really like to do is try the word on, so to speak, and kind of see what it feels like, see what it delivers, see what it starts creating for me. And I usually have a decision made by February, by like the middle to the end of February. And by then, the word has usually started to produce for me. So I wanted to lead off today with my insights around that and why I think this is such a good exercise, because I don't know if you've heard me talk about the one word challenge before. I would really recommend that you read the book. It's a very small book. It's red. Look for it on Amazon. Just Google the one word challenge and you'll find it. It's a very easy read. You can read it in an hour or two tops. And really what the point of the book is that it gets you thinking about, you know, it gets you to start thinking about how you want to embody your word. Okay. And so there are really three points to this. It's, do you want to start by looking in? And that usually means you detach from your world. You go inward. You've heard me talk all about what I think a retreat is. And the central piece is that you're actually disconnecting from your life. You're not trying to escape it. You're just disconnecting from it. Okay. So that's step number one. Step number two is you want to look up, meaning that you want to get insight from what you're feeling and thinking about what's possible for you, right? And then look out means embodying and living your word, okay? And this is a bit of a process. It's not something that just really comes to you overnight. But I really want to lead off with that because everything that I share with you today, everything I'm going to share with you in terms of what I think has worked really well this year, what I see working really well, and what I think did not work as well this year for people, just in my conversations and from what I've noticed, my one word applies to all of this. And I also want to wrap up with what I think my big lessons are for the year. And again, they all go back to the one word. So and I'm being very intentional when I explain that to you, in that the one word should be central in your life. It should be central to how you're creating, how you're being, what you're doing, what everything is meaning for you, how everything is showing up for you. Okay. So that's how I want you to receive that, okay? So I want to lead off with that. And I'll probably record an episode at the beginning of next year sometime, and I'll kind of explain, you know, the words that I'm trying to choose from. And maybe I'll tell you what my word is. I don't know. But I started sharing my word probably late spring of this year. And the more I talked about it, the more it produced for me. So I knew that it was the right word for me. I do think that sometimes you can create a word and then decide to change it or decide to add to it. That was my case last year. Last year, my word was creation. 2024, it was creation. And about halfway through the year, I changed it to flexible creation. And I think you have to give yourself permission to do that. So I think there's a number of different ways that this can look. So I want to lead off with that, because what I want to start today's episode with is kind of the 2025 recap through my lens of how I see the business world, the online world, and the in-person world, which is what we teach and what we do best here is helping you build a hybrid model around your program promise, around your business promise, around that through line of your expertise, right? And really what has come up for me are several things. And I want to share with you what I think has worked really well this year. And I'm going to try to give you some examples of, you know, what we've done here that's worked really well and what we've learned from that. And I'm happy to discuss this with you. If you would like some input, some feedback, if you've got questions, I want you to always know that, my DMs are always open. You can connect with me on my website at www.theallisonk.com and just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner. And you can get, if you have questions, we can definitely go through that. So let me start by saying what I think has worked really well this year are experiences. Everywhere I look, I've seen evidence of this. Now, what do I mean by that? Am I just talking about in-person retreats and events? Well, that's part of it. You can't talk about experiences without talking about in-person. That's definitely a big part of what makes an experience magical, I think, is being together in person with other people. The energy is different. It's very different than being in community on a Zoom screen with a bunch of people. Although I know a lot of people who just don't do any in-person. They have a beautiful business model built online that they love, that works for their life. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But what I am saying is that I think you miss out on a lot when you're not in person. And I think for those of you listening who maybe want to add in person, or maybe you're trying to do in person with online and it still feels a little crunchy, I just want to tell you that experiences are going to continue to be big in 2026. That's my prediction. I think they're probably going to get even bigger. I think people are very fatigued with being online. I think this is evident everywhere. And while I think there's always going to be a place for online, I think what we're going to see in the next few years probably is, a transition back to when given the choice to be in person. And I think that's totally fine. I think you need both, honestly. I think, and the business owners, you've heard me say this before, the business owners that are building business models that are flexible and workable for the future have both. And I think it's really important that you understand that, okay? So experiences have worked incredibly well for us. We've run 3 successful Allison K retreats this year, in addition to a retreat for my mastermind, which I usually do 1 or 2 of those a year. And what we've also added are these small boutique in-person experience, in-person intensives, I like to call them. We ran one in November and I did one virtually in December. Both worked incredibly well. We had, small groups of people. We had 3 in November. We had 2 in December. And granted, it was a little bit of a new concept. So you're going to see me talk about this a little bit more next year. But my intention is to offer more of these because I feel like when you keep them small and intimate and manageable, I feel like you can really not just cover a lot of ground, but you can make it really meaningful for those who attend. Okay. So, experiences are going to be key going forward as well. They worked really well for us. And I know several of my clients who have been able to leverage these in their business and make them work really well. And I think they're going to continue to work really well in 2026. So that's my first observation as to what's worked really well for this year. The second thing, and a lot of other business coaches are talking about this, is the return of a personal brand. Now, back in October, I recorded an episode about where I think the future of the hybrid model is. I mentioned that last week. I want to call your attention to going and listening to that if you haven't already. I believe it's episode 137. But if you go back in the archives of this show, it was dropped sometime in October. And you can go back and check that out. I would really encourage you to listen to that if you haven't already, because I sort of give you a little bit of background there. And some of what I'm talking about today is a little bit of a review of that. Okay. So definitely go back and give that a listen if you can. But the reason that a personal brand, I think, is really coming back I think what we're seeing is, and there's a number of different reasons for this, and I'm going to be recording some episodes early next year about the development of the platform for the entrepreneur. I really think that this is going to be very big going into the future. And the reason for that, there's really lots of reasons, but the main one is that right now we're in the middle of the information age, right? You can literally go online and Google anything that you want. There is an enormous amount of information out there that's free. And while that's amazing for people who maybe don't have the funds to invest or don't want to invest or think they can figure it out on their own, that's amazing. The problem is that because of the fact that AI has gotten so big, and it's the future, it's here to stay, it's not going anywhere, so we might as well work with it the best we can. But the reason that that is a problem to some degree is that not because of the vastness of the information and the fact that there's just a ginormous amount of it, but it's literally created a problem in that people sort of think they need more information to solve a problem. And really where this keeps people is just spinning in a cycle of consumption, going and doing this program and this challenge and that challenge. And I'm going to go to this YouTube channel and that YouTube channel and all of it. Okay. And I'm never going to fault anybody for wanting to get as much info as they can to make a decision. I think that is always empowering. But I think when you're seriously trying to make changes in your business or your life, or you're trying to seriously up-level towards much bigger goals for yourself, it does you a disservice. And I think what we're going to see going into 2026 is that most entrepreneurs and business owners are going to need to develop a platform for their expertise. I think it's really going to become important that you protect your expertise because it's the one thing that nobody can ever take away from you, no matter what, okay? There may be a lot of changes in the economy and the state of the world, world affairs, the business world, whatever you name it, there are going to be changes, right? And a lot of those are going to be changes that we really can't control. It's just kind of the way the world rolls, right? But when you have a firm grip and grasp on your IP and your platform, then you protect yourself and you protect your expertise. You've worked very hard to invest in your expertise. It's what's gotten you to now as a business owner, okay? And what we're going to see going into 2026 is this, I don't want to call it a need, I'm really going to call it a requirement, that you really hone in on leveraging your IP and your platform to the best of your ability, okay? And this is really to protect you because of the fact that there's so much free stuff out there, it makes it very easy for people to find something online and then claim it as theirs. And the problem too, when you run digital components of your business online, is that a lot of your expertise is out there. And look, let's be honest. A lot of what is talked about in the business world and in the health and fitness world in particular, which are the two main worlds that I live in, is not new information, okay? Lead generation is not a new concept. Social media is not a new concept. Creating retreats is not a new idea, right? But it's the way that you talk about it that makes you different. It's the way that you leverage it that gives you an edge. It's the way that you present it that makes it uniquely yours. And that's where you can put your stake in the ground and say, this is my IP and I'm taking ownership of this. And that is what's going to be really important in 2026. I've already started to see how well this has worked this year, not just for me, but for a lot of people that I know. And so developing a personal brand around your platform is really going to be super important because people want to know more about you. They want to know more about your life, how you make your decisions, how you make, you know, your choices, how you make choices to ebb and flow, how you make choices on, you know, how you reach your goals. And when it's time to make changes, how do you do that? You know, people want to know more about you, the man behind the curtain, so to speak, or the woman, whatever it is, rather than just the message in general, okay? And this is where building a personal brand becomes important because it builds loyalty and trust. And I've seen this work really well. Again, it's really starting to come on strong, and I think it's going to continue to flow into next year. And it's something that we've worked really hard on this year with us really staking our claim to helping you build the hybrid model. If you haven't been to our website recently, I would really encourage you to do that and check that out because we've updated a few things and really gotten a little bit clearer on what we believe are our edges. And I tell every one of my clients to do this on a regular basis because the more you do what you do and the longer you do it, there are going to be changes as to how you talk about it. And it's going to be important that you leverage that and make that your own. So head over to www.theallisonk.com and check that out. Click the CU Fitness link, which is the fitness part of our business. That's my legal company name. That's how I started out many, many years ago. And also check the Work With Me section on our page. And you can read about how we've, you know, really kind of leaned into this unique part of our brand, we think, okay? And I always love to hear your feedback. So feel free to connect with me and share your feedback with me if you like. Something else that I think has worked really well for a lot of people is the return of the membership and the subscription model. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, and this is really not a new idea, right? I know lots of people who have really built their entire business around a membership model. So we know it works. It's been around for a very long time. But right before the pandemic, there were some people doing it and some people that weren't. You know, group coaching was kind of catching on. Masterminds were becoming really big. And there really wasn't as much talk about the membership model. Then the pandemic hit and everybody had to go online. And then memberships blew up everywhere. Everybody went digital, of course. Everybody went virtual. Everybody was doing on demand. And we just saw this explosion of memberships. And that's probably the one reason why I really sort of backed away from the first one that I created in 2018. It was really built out of an idea to move more of my business online. But I really didn't know what I was doing. And the coach at the time was probably not the best one to advise me on it. But I trusted her and I felt like she gave me sage business advice all the way around. But when it came down to it, you know, it just wasn't the right business model for me at the time. It was a good decision, but it was the wrong time. Okay. And now I feel like the membership model is really finding its place again. And what's more is that I feel like each one, for people that I know that are successful with it, they're making it very individual and different, which I think is really important as a business owner. And this is part of what we talk about when we help you get clear on your promise of your business, what that through line is, that common red thread that runs through everything that you do, okay? Your membership should be an extension of that. It's like I talked about last week. Your promise is the same no matter what you offer. The only difference is the container. In other words, the way people experience it might be different, but the promise is the same. Okay, so if you're going to add a membership or a subscription to your business, which I highly recommend that you do, it's a very repeatable, easy business model to do. It requires a little bit of thinking and marketing to sell it long term, because ultimately the reason we create a membership is to give us more flexibility and freedom, more financial freedom, right? That's that monthly recurring revenue, which are three golden words if you're a business owner, okay? So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. The membership model, I think, has really made a strong comeback. And where I'm really seeing this is not just in the health and fitness industry, but in the retreat and the experience industry. I'm seeing travel agents take advantage of this. I'm seeing business owners and other service sectors take advantage of this. So I really think if you're thinking about something that will give you some monthly recurring revenue, maybe you have a couple of assets that you could repurpose and put in one or something else, this is a no-brainer. And not only does it go to helping people get a win with you early, but it helps people establish a relationship with you, especially if your only other offer is a high-ticket offer of some kind. I think it's really smart business to be able to have multiple access points. In other words, more than just one or two ways that people can work with you. I really think that this is a winning combination, and I think this is something that we're going to continue to see more of in 2026. It's one of the reasons why we launched our 360 Club this year. We launched it in June. Our launch sale was a big success. We have 13 or 14 members in there right now. And that's honestly, it's not because we haven't been marketing it, but because we're still learning it as we go along. And I think it's really important that you sort of have to get your feet wet and you have to get in there and figure out what works and what people want and how it's received. And we've made a few changes, you know, over the course of this year in making it better. And so we're now in the process of renewing several of our founding members, which is really exciting. And we're also offering a couple of upgrade options, an option to go to what we call our Elite 360, which gives you a retreat with me. And we've also added Platinum Elite, which gets you two retreats. So we're just, like I said, we're experimenting with this. We want it to become better and better. And we don't know these things unless we make decisions around making changes, right? So I really think the membership and the subscription model is really going to work for the future. And I think it's really going to work for you regardless of what your business is. Okay. And that's a change. I didn't know, I used to always think that, but I've really seen a lot of evidence this year that it can work any number of ways. And I think what's important is that you decide how it aligns with your promise and with your personal brand. And I think it's an absolute slam dunk no-brainer. So those are my three big, you know, insights as to what I think has worked really well this year. Okay. I'm going to talk for just a few minutes around what I think really has not worked very well. And I have evidence, you know, not just in my business, but in people that I know who have consistently tried to do things that haven't worked. And number one is the hyper-focusing on just one offer or one way to work with people. I have colleagues who have struggled this year with their one offer because it's the only thing that they do. And I just cannot tell you how short-sighted I think that is. I've seen this happen to a number of people that I know. And, you know, honestly, it's not because I don't think that they know it. It's that they're just not open to doing things different, which is a real shame. Because to me, I see that as something that is within your control to do something about, okay? Now look, how you run your business is your decision. It's a personal call. You have to look at what works for your lifestyle, what works for, you know, what you're prepared to show up and deliver on a regular basis, what you're willing to show up and put your hands in the dirt and really start to work, right? And I just think that for a lot of people, they're just not available and willing to look at doing things different. I think there are a lot of people out there with stories that it's going to be a lot of work to change, that I've been doing this a long time, that should be enough, that I'm an established expert, I shouldn't have to make changes. And that, my friends, is what I call entitlement thinking. And that will get you in trouble every single time. And I have seen this work against a lot of people that I know, colleagues that I know and respect, people that I have known a long time in the business world. And I think it's a real shame because it doesn't have to be like that. You know, building a business is not for the faint of heart, but it doesn't have to be soul-sucking, you know, energy draining to the point where it's just not fun. And if you're at that point, you may need to take a step back or two for a while and reevaluate. And that's totally okay, right? But this hyper-focusing on just one thing because it's always worked will get you in trouble. And it will keep you from building what it is that you want for your future, okay? I just think the business owners that are going to be successful in the future are not going to be married to just one thing in their business, okay? They're going to be the ones that are constantly creating, constantly trying new things. That doesn't mean they're always putting out 10, 15 new things every month. That's not what I mean. But what I do mean is that they're willing to be open to doing things different. And that is really what it's all about. Okay. Something else that I have not seen work very well for people is too much dependence on either social media or email or both. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean being overly dependent on one or the other. I really think in business, you have to find a way to leverage both in a way that works for you, okay? Now, I talk to people all the time who are exhausted by social media. I don't want to be on Facebook. I hate it. It's all negativity, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I get it. There's a lot of crap out there. I get it. There's a lot of people airing their dirty laundry. People are airing all their political beliefs, which I think we can, the world is politically charged enough as it is. We don't need to add to it. But having said that, we live in a free society and people are free to express their opinions. But here's where you have to draw the line, not just as a human being and as a business owner, or excuse me, not as a business owner entrepreneur, but as a human being too. I think you have to have boundaries around what you're available for and what you're not, okay? But as a business owner, what you have to be thinking about is that 90% of people today are online looking for information about what you do or someone that you know, okay? Most of the time, people gather their information online before they make any kind of buying decision. I don't know anybody who does that in person solely, okay? Here's why I'm saying that. You're doing yourself a disservice when you don't leverage both. So if you're not really good at emailing, get better at emailing. If you're not really good at social media, then develop a plan that works for you that doesn't drain your energy, okay? That allows you to continue to show up for people so that you can build an audience. This is going to be very critical for the future. And if you're in one of those camps right now, I can tell you right now, it hasn't worked for you this year. I haven't seen it work for anybody, okay? So what I am saying is from the work that we've done with our clients and in my own business, what I have seen work really well is when you find a strategy and where you can do both and be consistent doing both. So in other words, don't show up every day on social media and then go dark for a month. Don't email your list, you know, every day and then go ghostly quiet for 3 months. That doesn't work, okay? Find a way to do both and be consistent, okay? So if you're struggling with that, I can tell you that that probably hasn't worked for you this year, okay? And then the other thing that I'll just mention again, and this is really no secret if you know me, is that if you're really resisting blending in person and online, I can tell you right now your business probably hasn't worked that well for you this year. Now, having said all that, I know plenty of people who have beautiful online businesses that make multiple six figures and it works for them. And that is totally fine. Now, having said that too, I know people who operate amazing in-person businesses and they're fine with that. And that is good too. But here's the point I'm trying to make. I feel like if you've been able to leverage that and it's worked for you, there's going to come a time when it's not going to work for you. Okay. Really, the people who continue to resist the hybrid model, blending an in-person and online business model together, right? In a way that works for you, a way that works for what you do. The people who consistently resist doing that are doing themselves a disservice. The people that I have seen resist doing that this year, they have not done as well as they wanted to do this year in their business, okay? It's really as simple as that. Now, does that mean that you have to be offering a lot? No, absolutely not. You can still stay primarily digital if that's what you want to do or online. Maybe you just offer a handful of in-person things, or maybe you just do one or two in-person things throughout the year. Or if you don't want to add it as an offer, maybe at least you leverage it as a way to build your audience. In other words, going to in-person events, going to networking functions, going to get-togethers in person with other people. These are things that when you leverage them right in a way that works for you, this is what will help you build the business model that you want for the future, okay? So if you're resisting doing that, I'm really going to challenge you to take a look at that because I don't think that has worked very well for people this year, okay, in general. I still think the hybrid is the future. Everything that I have seen, all the evidence I have seen, a lot of the conversations I've had this year has just proved my point all that much more, right? The hybrid model really is the future. So don't hamstring yourself and tell yourself that it can't work or that you're not interested. If you're not interested, I can respect that, but at least let's make your decision from a place that it's actually helping you in your business, okay? If you don't think that it's going to help, my guess is that you probably haven't found the right combination of something that you can do on repeat that will work for you, okay? So let me just review what I think are the three big winners from this year and the three big things that have not worked as well. And then I want to share with you what I think my big lessons of this year were. When we go back to what has worked really well, experiences are key. Building experiences is where it is. I still think that's been huge this year for us, for a number of people that I know, and for going into 2026. Building a personal brand is a must for building loyalty, for building trust, for building relationships, and for helping you leverage your platform more. In other words, your IP, your intellectual property, and your expertise. It's going to become necessary for you to do that for the future. And then the last point that I made around what I think is working extremely well right now are memberships and subscriptions, because of the fact that there are finally a lot of people out there who are embracing this and making it very unique. We're not seeing the one size fits all anymore. We're not seeing the library of videos on demand and a Facebook group. We're actually seeing some real innovation with memberships. And I really think that that's a good thing because it's clearly something that's been around for a very long time. It's going to continue to work for the future. As far as what hasn't worked, the hyper-focusing on the one offer, it doesn't work. It's not going to work now. It's not going to work for the future. And on top of that, it's just not very smart business. Okay. So one other option that I mentioned was relying too much on your social media for lead gen or for selling, or relying too much on email. The real meta skill is to be able to leverage both. And you need to do both as a business owner. You're doing yourself a disservice when you don't, okay? And then the last point of what I felt like did not work that well this year for people are the people who resisted incorporating any version of a hybrid model that would work for them, okay? And I know lots of people in my world that have had really bad years because of it this year. You know, and as an outsider, I can say that, and I'm not privy to a lot of details of what's going on in these businesses of the people that I'm thinking of as I say this. But what I can notice is from an outsider point of view, where I can tell when somebody's struggling or when something's not working, I can almost feel it, okay? And I can read the tea leaves and sense from how much I see people pivot and change and offer different things and talk about different things all the time, that there's clearly not a strategy thought out as to what is actually going to work, right? So if you're still resisting the hybrid model, I really want to challenge you and think about what that can look like for you, not just for next year, but for the future, okay? And as far as my lessons go for this year, I just want to end with this. I think this year has been, at least for me personally, has been a massive, you know, observation in creation and expansion. I feel like there are opportunities that have come to me on my radar this year that I didn't even see coming in January. I mean, these are opportunities that are just game changing. And I have traveled more this year than I have in a very long time. I have leveraged my connections and my audience more than I ever have. And it has paid off in a big time way. And all I can say is my lesson from that is to say yes. Show up and say yes. Don't tell yourself that you need all the answers, that you need the plan, that you need the roadmap, that you need all the details in place. And here's my favorite thing that I hear people say that keeps them stuck. I'm going to wait until I'm more clear. Don't do that. Say yes, and say yes as often as you possibly can. Say yes all the time, even if you don't know how you're going to get it done, okay? Now, I'm not saying that you should overextend yourself. You should stretch yourself, right? You're never going to grow if you don't. Okay. But my biggest lesson from this year is the fact that I said yes more. I said yes, not a few times more, but exponentially more. Even when I didn't know where the money was going to come from, when I was going to find the time to do it, or how it was all going to work, I just trusted that I could figure it out. And every single time I did. So I want you to sit with that for a minute. What would that look like for you in your business and in your life if you simply just said yes more? What would that look like? Okay, that's been my biggest lesson and my biggest takeaway from this year is say yes, even if you don't know, even if you don't have the answer, even if you don't have the path forward, say yes, okay? The second lesson is do things repeatedly that scare you, okay? Do things that repeatedly that scare you. Now, this isn't anything new. You probably hear people say that a lot. And to be honest with you, you're really not going to get anywhere if you don't. You're not going to get anywhere new if you don't be bold and step out of your comfort zone and do something that scares you. But one of my big lessons this year around saying yes is that I did a lot of things that scared me. I did a lot of things. I put a lot of things in my calendar when I really had no business doing it. But I trusted myself that I would figure it out. And more importantly, I knew that the future version of Allison K, the future version of myself, that is doing all the things that I want to be doing, was making different decisions. I knew it. I knew it in January. I just didn't quite know the roadmap. I didn't quite know what was going to happen. I didn't quite know the steps. None of that. I just knew in 2025, I said, I'm going to do some different things this year. That was the only thought I had in January. And as the year unfolded and my word became apparent to me, expansion, I started saying yes more. I started saying yes to things when I thought, that's really going to be a stretch for me. I'm out of town this week and you're asking me to go on a retreat in France the following week? Yes, I'm a yes. I'll figure it out. I'm a yes. And it scared me, if I'm being honest. It scared me a lot because I thought, oh shit, here we go. There's no backpedaling now, right? But you always figure it out. You always figure it out. And you know what else? You learn so much about yourself. You learn that you're capable of doing hard things. You learn that you're capable of figuring out how to create more income. You learn that you're capable of saying yes when for years you said no and it wouldn't work, okay? Those are my two biggest lessons from this year, is to say yes as often as you can, all the time. Just say yes, don't overthink it, just say yes. And the other is do things repeatedly that scare you. Do things repeatedly that challenge you. Do things repeatedly that force you to get out of your comfort zone, but do things that scare you, okay? Don't wait until you're clear. That's the biggest lie that we tell ourselves, is that we have to wait to be clear. You don't have to wait to be clear, because when you do that, you hamstring yourself into a cycle that you have to know what you're going to do before you take a step, and you don't. This is why so many business owners stay stuck. They say, I'm going to wait until I'm more clear. You don't have to wait until you're more clear. That's what I'm saying. If you know you want to change something now, that's all the evidence that you need. Take the first step now and say yes. What would that look like? Is that saying yes to the coach that you wanted to work with for a while? Is that saying yes to finally doing the online challenge or to finally buying something and betting on yourself that you'll figure it out? That's really what it's about, my friends. That is really what it's about. So that is what I got for you this week, folks. Happy New Year. I hope you've had happy holidays, happy New Year, however you celebrate. It has been such a joy and pleasure to show up here every week and give you hopefully what I think is very helpful business advice, whether it's listening to me rant and rave about something or whether it's listening to me talk to an industry expert about something. You know, we've got you covered here on creating the world's best client experience. I can't wait to bring you what we have planned for you in 2026. We're going to continue to bring you all the good things. So you definitely want to stay tuned. And just know that I'm super grateful to have you in our world. So thank you. This is Allison K signing off for 2025 and creating the world's best client experience. That's what I got for you this week, and Happy New Year.